Brooklands Radio. Loving events in Surrey.
Well, we're here today at the Weybridge Business Group Christmas Fair. Sirens in the background already. Yet again, nice to be out in the open air meeting the public, and we've met quite a few already. Come over and said hello to us at Brooklands. We're at the bottom of Baker Street, right outside Lloyd's Bank, and basically the fair goes all the way up Baker Street from the end by Church Street, where it's closed off, and right the way through to the block of flats up on the right-hand side, just past the Tapas restaurant. 30 stalls, I say, to come and visit, and great variety. Food, drink, craft stalls, and some charity stalls. We'll try and get a chat with as many of those as we can over the next few hours. It's running until 6 o'clock today. I'm out here in the cold. Believe me, it's getting colder by the second. Just having to walk around the corner because it's a little bit noisy where we are at the moment. We're based there, lots of shops there as well, so people coming in and out of shops, so we're trying to convince them to go and take part in the market as well. Keep you up to date what's going on over the afternoon.
So I'm talking now with Nick from Stoked Eat. Nick, good afternoon to you, first of all.
Afternoon, James.
So tell us what you're doing down here today.
We're doing wood-fired stone-baked pizzas from the van.
Fantastic. Now, is this becoming a more and more popular thing? You're seeing them around now.
Yeah, big time. We started at the beginning of the summer, and since then it's really taken off, and we're doing really well in the Walton and Weybridge area.
Fantastic. So it's a brand new business?
Yeah, as of the beginning of the summer.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about the sort of background of that. Why did you do this as a group? Tell us a bit more about your company.
Yeah, so we started off down in Hayling Island, helping out with another guy who runs a van down there, and was going back and forth to Portsmouth and thought this would be a really good idea to have something like this in Weybridge. So decided to set a similar thing up this way.
Fantastic. So I'm looking at the menu. The menu looks fantastic. Do you want to talk us through what sort of pizzas you've got on offer today and what you do?
Yeah, so we've gone for quite a simple menu today. We go for margarita just because the kids love it, vegetarian because it suits everybody, a couple of meat ones, and of course our special, which is chorizo, red onions, pepper jew peppers and chilies. It's been really popular in the last couple of weeks, couple of months, so we just thought we'd stick with it. And other than that, just keep things nice and simple and nice and effective so everyone has some option to something to enjoy.
Would you say the house special is the most popular pizza?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
You would say that?
Yeah, of course.
What sort of things do you think you might put onto the menu? Are you going to carry on building on that, or do you think that's a popular one as it is?
Yeah, so we do run weekly specials as well, separately, and we tend to keep them for the side of the street trade. What we've gone for today is garlic pizza bread and garlic pizza bread with cheeses, rather than doing a different kind of special. So that's now become our house special, which is a regular feature on our menu now.
Brilliant. And actually, it's good to see at the bottom there, gluten-free and vegan-friendly cheese as well. Important to have that nowadays.
Absolutely. It's such a growing trend, gluten-free and what with health issues as well. And vegan-friendly cheese is huge. And such companies like VioLife out there making such nice equivalent for mozzarellas and things like that. It'd be silly to not take the most of the opportunity to use their cheese as well.
Most definitely. So talking about events, obviously you're here today at the Weybridge Christmas Market. What other events have you done so far this year?
So we've done all sorts. So we were in Walton last year doing the turning on the lights there at the Walton Festival. We're doing Teddington a couple of days ago as well for the similar thing. Other than that, we do loads of weddings, we do birthday parties, we did Diwali parties, anything and everything. We work with cricket clubs, we work with tennis clubs, we've done all sorts.
Nice one. And if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do so?
Yeah, best thing to do is on Facebook. We're at Stoked Eat One. At Stoked Eats One, or on our website, which is www.stokedeats.com.
Fantastic. The warmth coming off of this van.
Cool.
The wood oven's quite amazing. Do you want to talk us about the oven very quickly?
Yeah, so the oven, we use seasoned hard oak. It's been seasoned for about 2 years. Gets to about 700-800 degrees centigrade. Gets so hot, we have to wait for the temperature to drop down to even cook in it.
Wow.
And we cook at about 500-600 degrees. The pizzas take a minute and a half or so to cook in that speed, in that heat.
That quick?
That quick, yeah.
Amazing. Nick, thanks for speaking to us today.
Pleasure.
And we'll catch up with you at another event soon.
Awesome. Sounds good. Cheers, James.
Okay, I'm joined by the Dementia Action Alliance Society, and they are a local Dementia Action Alliance group. And joining me is
I'm Brian Prothero. I'm the rector of St James Parish Church in Weybridge here, and it's a privilege to be able to work with the Dementia Action Group and to provide some volunteer help. Without Chime's help, it wouldn't happen, of course, but the whole idea is quite simple. It's not about peddling religion, it's about peddling the idea of caring for people who have dementia and those who have the difficult job of looking after them. And if Weybridge became just a bit more friendly towards them, it would be even better than it already is. That's the whole idea, to make Weybridge a dementia-friendly town. And every month on a Tuesday afternoon, I think it's the third Tuesday, I have a service there with popular hymns and readings, just familiar things for people who have dementia, and they come along with their carers. Last half an hour, that's how we help so far, but there may be other ways.
and it's good fun standing in the cold, blowing up balloons here. And all the balloons have run out, so that can't be bad, can it?
So, Brian, yes, just having a look here to see a bit more about the organisation. And I didn't know that 28% of people living with dementia said they had to give up activities such as shopping, exercise and using transport. So, very valuable, obviously, for this organisation. And obviously dealing with not just sort of dealing with day-to-day things, but I suppose on a sort of more emotional level as well. And because, of course, obviously, if you're new to it, then you're not quite sure what's going on.
Yeah.
So do you offer additional support, not just sort of different activities, but also additional support as well?
We offer practical support if people want to talk about it, because dementia is very, very varied. And people's reaction to looking after somebody, somebody realising they've got dementia, and maybe the hard bit, getting someone to understand that they have. It's about not keeping it to yourself, actually, and sharing it. You do infinitely more together as a group than you do on your own, and that's part and parcel of the whole thing. And it's pretty much early days yet, but getting people together who share the same issues is a really good start. And I'm glad for Brooklands Radio that you had a chat with me today, because and you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And just having a look through, because I've got some information here, that how do you contact yourselves as a group? What would be the steps
you
there?
Contact Annabel Yeomans through the parish office here, 01932 856399, and she'll be very happy to get back to you if there's anyone out there in Radio Land who feels they could help or needs to learn something, is at the end of their tether, thinks they've got dementia but can't do anything about it for various reasons, anything like that, give us a buzz. See if we can help. If we can't help, we know someone who can.
Okay, that's great. And so we've got obviously a lot of information here. And it's not just... because I think a lot of people are under the... a lot of people that don't know about it are actually... under the impression that it just happens to people over a certain age, but it happens any time, pretty much, doesn't it?
I've known of relatively young people getting early onset dementia, and every case is horrible, but I guess in someone young it's even more horrible, if we can talk like that. But it's something that community faces. Individuals are better in a community looking after stuff than trying to battle on their own. If someone's supporting you, you've shared the job.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And obviously, if you are aware of someone who may have this particular condition, then do make sure that they get checked out pretty quickly, and obviously you'll be able to contact Dementia Friendly Community, Dementia Action Alliance Group, for further information. Annabel Yeomans is on the email, I'll take it. She's on, yes, it's Annabel Yeomans at yahoo.co.uk. So that's who to contact to find out.
Or the parish office number, which I gave you earlier in the interview. Okay.
Thank you very much, Brian. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
We're up in the market now with Sarah from Sarah and Dot. Hello.
Hello.
Chosen a cold day for it today, haven't we? But what can you do? Now, tell us about Stella & Dot.
So, Stella & Dot is a boutique jewellery company. It's been in this country for about 5 years. It's only sold at events and at-home parties. It's gorgeous jewellery, accessories, scarves, bags, tops, everything you need.
So that's a one-stop shop, really, isn't it?
It is. You can get your whole outfit from one place, yeah.
Well, let's hope you're busy this afternoon. I say, looks down here. Do you actually make the stuff, or is it supplied to you, like, on a franchise basis?
Yeah, it's a franchise company, so we all own our own little businesses within the Stella & Dot umbrella. And, yeah, it's great fun. It's a way to earn some extra money, and you get lots and lots of gorgeous jewellery. So,
Are there many people running it this country? So I know the name. Obviously, I'm not somebody who wears a lot of jewellery, but how long have you been doing it now?
I've been a stylist for 3 years now. There are a lot. There's about 2,000 in the UK. People do it for all different reasons. Some people do it as a full-time job of career, and others just do it as a part-time way to earn a bit of extra money alongside another job. So it's very flexible and it's good fun.
And you obviously enjoy it. As you said, it's good fun, but you obviously enjoy it. You wouldn't be here on a freezing cold afternoon in the beginning of December, would you?
No, I love it, actually. It's great. You meet lots and lots of interesting people, and as I say, I really, really love the jewellery. So, yeah, it's a good little thing to do.
And if people want to see you, you've got your own website?
I have got my own website, yep. So it's stella.co.uk and then a / in my name, which is Sarah McCormack. So, yeah.
Could you spell it McCormack?
McCormack.
I know someone with McCormack with an A in it. Sarah, thanks very much. Hope you have a very successful afternoon.
So the rain's just started a little bit here at the Weybridge Christmas Market, and I was walking down Baker Street and I bumped into Sarah from Choco Cake, who's standing outside with some lovely samples. We'll talk about those in a minute. Sarah, first of all, do you want to tell us a little bit more about the business?
Yeah, hi. So at Choco Cake, we make our own handmade chocolates and our cakes. We also have a variety of Eastern style sweets such as baklava, Turkish delights. We have a lot of fresh nuts here as well. And we serve a lot of hot drinks, such as hot chocolates that are made by ourselves using our own chocolate, which is very thick, luxurious style hot chocolate, and plenty of teas and coffees here.
Amazing. Actually, just looking in, there's lots of people sitting there with big smiles on their faces.
Yeah, we're glad to see them here. And it's also been really nice to have the market here today. It's a good idea to have it on Baker Street because it's one of the side streets, I guess. So it's been good. We're really happy with how the day's gone so far.
And to highlight the local business, do you want to tell us a bit more about how the business came to be? How long have you been here?
Yeah, so Turan started the business about a year ago. She's been making cakes for a very long time, and she started to love making chocolate at some point as well. So she decided to set up this shop here locally. It's been going pretty well so far. It's been nice to, you know, be part of the Weybridge community and get to know a lot of people here. And along the way, she's added different types of sweets, such as the Turkish delights and the baklava. Yeah.
Fantastic. So you've got these samples in front of you, and I've just had a try of one of them. Do you want to talk us through what we've got?
Okay, so we have a set of Turkish delights. We've got pistachio flavour, we've got lemon flavour, rose and pomegranate flavour. The pomegranate is quite nice. And then the chocolates, we've got milk chocolate with marshmallow, we've got dark chocolate with ginger, milk chocolate with orange peel, white chocolate with coffee, and we use our own coffee in the mix. And we've got this nice one here, is dark chocolate with rose petals, which is quite an Eastern style take on the chocolate.
Looks lovely as well on the plate, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's quite beautiful.
It's good. So talking about the Turkish diet, I just tried some of the pistachio, which, can I say, very, very good. Very, very nice. But pomegranate, that's quite an unusual flavour. How did that one come to be? How did the flavours come about?
Well, as I mentioned, it's quite an Eastern-influenced shop. So the pomegranate is quite popular in the Mediterranean and Middle East. So that's basically how it came about. The rose also is quite popular as well in Eastern flavours.
Brilliant. And the chocolate, as well, you were saying, this is all homemade on the property by the owner. Who is your mum as well?
Who is my mum, yes. Yeah, she's very talented. So she makes all of the chocolates herself. And some of the chocolates, like the marshmallow and the coffee, are based on seasonal and seasonal flavours. Yeah, and some of the flavours, such as the rose and the orange peel, and we have some sour cherry inside as well, they're inspired by Eastern flavours.
Brilliant. And if people want to come and find out a little bit more about you, small business here on Baker Street, how can they come and find you?
Well, we have a website, chococake.co.uk, and you can also find us, come to the shop, place your orders for your cakes, come for some tea or coffee and enjoy our sweets.
I'll let you enjoy the rest of the afternoon out in the cold slightly, I must admit.
It is, but it's been good.
They put you out the front of the shop. Yes. Thanks for talking to us, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Joining me is Jeanette Hogg. And Jeanette, you've got a wide range of accessories here, beaded accessories from South Africa here. Tell me a bit more about the business and what you do.
Hi. So it's a little enterprise that we started in South Africa. We had a farm and we inspanned all the farm workers, and they would sit around tables and we would design placemats, cushions, throwovers, and put beads on them. And that was our signature, beaded and sewn products with beautiful fabrics. And then it extended to beaded necklaces, and now we've got beaded Christmas decorations. And then our neighbouring farm has Angora rabbits.
Right.
So they comb the rabbits and then spin the yarn.
They spin the yarn, yeah.
And then the ladies started crocheting and knitting ponchos and scarves and hats, even little mittens. And of course, Angora rabbit wool is 7 times warmer than sheep's wool. And it isn't as scratchy.
Oh,
so it's very soft.
Very soft.
Yes.
And you've actually got a very, very nice very even just looking at your gloves, they look cosy. But it's tell me a bit more about the material you've got on these gloves. It's sort of like a softer than fleece. It's a very, very soft wool, isn't it? That's the wool from that's been yarned.
So the Angora rabbit is a very, very fluffy. They're the most beautiful, beautiful creatures. Fluffy creatures, and that's why it's such a beautiful craft or a beautiful art, because they comb the wool, they comb the rabbits, and then from that they spin the yarn. And the more you wear it, the more fluffy it gets. So these that I'm wearing are very, very worn, and that's why they look so fluffy. But they're so warm and they're so comfortable.
And the type of materials you've got here, obviously you say you've got scarves. And it's not just things that you wear, but also I notice you've got some tree decorations and things like that as well that are beaded.
Yes, yes. So that's where that ties in with the beaded placemats. So we've got table runners, handbags, little bags where they put the beads on, and then they made some decorations for Christmas.
Okay. So tell me a bit more about your business. What's the name of your business?
So it's called Nandi's Gifts, and it's the ladies in rural KZN. They come to the room that we have, and they sew the products, and then take the products home, and their family and friends bead them. And then they bring them back, and then we pay them for that. So they're actually taking a little business into their home and getting the extended families, giving the extended families a little bit of money as well.
Right. So it's because a lot of businesses like this, they're actually based over here, and they're actually the people that work over here. But it's nice to know that you actually there's a lot of obviously materials going backwards and forwards, but it means that they've got money, and they've got they've got working, which is good. So they've got the different things there, so you've got a different range here, and the handbags, they're obviously different patterns and things like that. Are they sort of a standard handbag, or are they sort of different sizes, or their standard size?
No, what we do is that we are the fabric is donated, so the fabrics are very, very expensive, good quality fabrics, which is donated to us. And then depending on how big the fabric is, we will either make a set of placemats, or if there's a little bit left over, we'll make a handbag.
Oh, I see. So nothing's wasted.
Nothing's wasted.
Oh, that's what we like to hear.
So even on this little one here, you'll see it's a tiny little piece of fabric, but it's fully beaded. And that's where the value is and the beauty is, really.
It looks very nice indeed. In fact, the bag that I'm looking at here is something that you'd find at a very, very expensive shop, something like Harrods. I presume it's not quite as expensive as the handbags in Harrods. but there's some decorations here, the beaded decorations. I see the decorations you can put on your tree. Also, there's some wonderful lights as well, beaded lampshades, if you call it. Is that what they're called?
Yes.
They look like baubles, but you put them over behind the lights. So there's lots of different things here. So how can the, people contact you if they want to find out some more information?
My cell number is 07391 671248. That's my mobile, and that's how I work. I work in the garage, and my ladies work in their own little garages back in South Africa, and that's it. It's a very informal little business, but it's giving some people an opportunity to earn some money.
Okay, and do you have an email address?
Yes, it's JeanetteHogg@gmail.com.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you very much, Jeanette. And it's an interesting stall, and there's quite a few items here, and it looks very nice. In fact, it's probably one of the most decorated stalls actually here at the Weybridge Christmas Fair today. It looks very, very nice, very, very decorative. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much, and have a Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Thank you.
Well, we're a couple of hours into the event now here in Weybridge High Street, Baker Street, and it's just started raining. Always fun on an outside broadcast when it starts raining. But it's still a lot of people coming around. We've had our singer along. She sang a few songs for us. We've got lots more people to talk to, and it's going very well at the moment. We're still looking forward to the Way Ladies Voices Choir coming in at around about 4 o'clock. 4:45, we will have the Lantern Parade. A lot of kids, one school alone is bringing 50 children with them this afternoon for the Lantern Parade. They'll go up Baker Street area one way and then back down the other side, and they'll congregate around the Christmas tree. And at 5 o'clock, the lights will be turned on by the Mayor of Elmbridge, Councillor Rachel Lake. That's what we're doing for the rest of the day. We'll have more interest for you as we go along.
We're now live at the front of the Lantern Procession, which is currently making its way back down at Baker Street this afternoon. People here at the front, do you want to tell us where you guys are come from today?
We're from 11F Brooklands.
Fantastic. And what's your name?
Michelina, Cadet Mac.
Thank you very much. And is it quite nice to be at the front of the Lantern Procession this afternoon? Nice to see you in the town.
Yeah, it's very nice. This is our last active parade of the year until we stop for Christmas, so it's nice to end it off so well.
Brilliant, thank you very much. I'm going to get some more interviews as we go down the procession, so I'm going to move to the side actually and get out of people's way. I've got a lovely lady here standing with one of the big school signs. What's your name?
Jackie Ridsmore.
Now, talk to me a little bit more about the school. Which school have we got the flag for here?
St George's Junior School.
Fantastic. Have we got children from St George's? Are you from St George's, young man? What's your name?
Children.
Sam.
What's your name?
Zach.
Sam.
Close enough. So we've got 50 children from St George's here, all with their lovely lanterns. These are nice. Did you make them in school?
Yes.
You did? Yes. And how did you make them?
With jewels and bottles.
Jewels and bottles?
Yeah.
Amazing. They look really, really nice.
Handles.
Say again?
Pipe cleaners for the handles.
Pipe cleaners for the handles, because you've got to be safe when you're carrying the lanterns. Now, I am slowing up the parade at the moment. Trying to walk and talk is very difficult when you've got all of these people here. Let's try and grab a few more children, actually, and see your names. What's your name, young man?
Sam.
Another Sam. Seems we've got lots of Sam. Tell me about your lantern, Sam. How did you make it?
So, I cut out antlers.
Yeah.
And then I did the nose and put glitter on it and then made the eyes.
That's amazing. And what school do you come from, Sam?
St George's.
St George's as well. So we've got 50 children from St George's. This afternoon we've got some parents who always look worried when they see someone with a microphone. They walk past and go, I don't want to be interviewed. But we've got hundreds and hundreds of people in the procession this afternoon. Some more brilliant lanterns coming past from St George's Junior School in Weybridge. And it's great to see the Lantern Parade this afternoon. I'm going to grab a few more interviews actually from some of these young children down here. Should we say hello? What's your name?
Georgia.
And Georgia, tell me about your lantern. That looks lovely. What have you put on the side of it? She's nodding. Very, very shy. And what's your name?
Penny.
You've got a fantastic lantern. What colour's your lantern? Tell us what it's decorated with.
Yellow.
It's a lovely one. And what school do you come from, Penny?
St George's.
St George's. And what year are you in, Penny?
Year 4.
Reception. That's amazing. I'm going to let the procession go on because I'm literally holding people up while they're taking lanterns. But it's really nice to be out in the thick of it in the Lantern Parade, making its way down Baker Street, back down towards the Christmas tree, where the lights will be going on at 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Joining me is Lisa from Plan des Garnes. Have I pronounced that properly?
Plan des Garnes.
Plan des Garnes. Yes. Okay. And
Plants of Eden.
Plants of Eden, and it's this is a sort of natural skincare or natural skincare products, it's vegan. I always associate vegan with food. So, what's special about the vegan side of this then?
So, we only use plant-based products because you can use animal products in skincare. So, for example, to make a lip balm, you need a wax to make it set. So, beeswax would be the thing people use. But we use olive wax. We use plant-based waxes in our products. You can also get oils from animals like the emu. There's this emu oil, which is supposed to be good for the hair, but we don't use things like that in our products. We just make it, you know, our purpose to not use anything from animals, to only use plant-based products.
I see. And this is, it says bath and body care, but so it's not just things like shower gel and bath foam. I suppose it's a varied range of products.
Yes. So it's all skincare, literally. It takes care of all your skincare needs. It's for hair, for body. It's for men, for women, multitasking, deodorants, all sorts we have here.
Okay. And also, so how long have you been doing this business for? This is it a home business, or is it running from a company?
So it's all done by me at the moment. It's just me. Okay, so it's from home. I've been doing this for about 3-4 years, but the ideology has been about 9 years in its making. At the moment, it's small. I'm trying to keep it small because I'm not really yet that ready to expand. But hopefully, that is a dream that one day we will expand wider.
Okay, and the name, is there any connection with it? Is it just so happens that you decided to pick a French name, or is it originated from France?
No, so, okay, I do speak a bit of French myself. So the whole ethos was that I wanted something unique, and I wanted something that actually told the story of what we're doing. So it's Plants of Eden, it's using natural skincare, it's back to Eden almost. You know, using plants-based products to actually nourish the skin. So, for example, one of the butters we make here is called the Super Greens. It contains spirulina and wheatgrass. And we're saying, let's harness plant power in our shea butter products. We have a lot of products like that. We have also a hibiscus whipped shea butter, where we actually grind up the petals, the flower petals, and put it in the actual product. So Plan d'Eden, it's Plants of Eden. We are trying to use natural plant-based products in all our products and go back to Eden.
Okay, and they're all made over here, I take it. They're not made abroad or anything?
So it's all made handmade here in UK in small batches because we're trying to preserve its expiry. We import a lot of products. So, for example, shea butter only originates in West Africa and in South Africa. So we have to get it from there. We have a lot of products from Morocco. We have like a volcanic clay called Rasoul clay that comes from Morocco. The argan oil we have here, I find the best argan oil comes from Morocco. So we actually go there to source the products from Morocco. So some of it comes from here, some from abroad.
Okay. So you've got gift sets, which are very good. So what's as part of a gift set? Is it one gift set, or is it all different packages?
So we have three types at the moment of gift sets. And what we do is we actually put our favorite products, so like the bestsellers, in the gift set. So we have a face care one, which normally would retail for £25. But if you buy it in the gift set, it's £15. It has a cleanser, a toner, and a moisturizer. It also has a face cloth in there and a mask brush. We also have one that contains a chocolate orange body scrub. And it also has a whipped shea butter. On its own, will retail for £15. We're doing it for £10. And then we have the mega one that's normally worth £40. We retail for £35. But it's basically got one of our whipped shea butters, which is one of our best sellers. It's got a scrub in there. It's got a soothing pillow spray. And it's got a couple other products in there.
Okay. So, it's a whole range of products here. How can people get in touch with you? Do you actually deal with the ordering side?
Yeah. So we have online. If you just go to www.plantesdeden.co.uk, so it's spelled plantesdeden.co.uk. You can get our products from there. We do mail order, so we can ship, and you won't spend more than £4 or £5 on shipping. Everything is on there. You have our whole ethos, the whole story. You know, the ingredients list is all online. So have a look on our website, and it's all made in small batches. So if you buy from us, you're supporting the community where we make natural products in small batches.
Brilliant. Okay, well, I'll have to have a look at that when I get home and find out a bit more about it. So it all looks very interesting, and it's big business now, isn't it? Skincare, beauty care.
Yes, it is. I mean, if you think the skin is the largest organ of the body, and if you think if you're putting chemical-based products on your skin over time, you know, you're accumulating in the toxicity, and you can see the rise in breast cancer, in all kinds of cancers. So we have to now think, what are we doing wrong as modern man that we weren't doing before? Why is the incidence of cancers increasing? We have to almost look at what our lifestyle is. So it's not just the whole ethos of skincare. It's what you put inside your body. It's what you drink and what kinds of foods you eat and how organic are they and where are you sourcing them from. So it's the whole ethos of just being natural and healthy.
We are looking very closely at how we live now. Not just sort of what we eat, but loads of other things, and beauty and skincare is one.
Yeah. I mean a lot of people say I will get healthier tomorrow sometime, you know, but you just have to just take that plunge and say I'll do it now. You know, now is the right time. You know, it all accumulates. There's no better time than now. And just think of your whole, you should love yourself enough to want to just give yourself the very best. You know, otherwise you will catch up, you know.
Will do. Well, Lisa, thank you very much indeed. And we'll have a look at that natural skincare at Plan Edan. If I pronounce that right?
Plan Edan.
Plan Edan. Do you know, I almost got it that time, didn't I? Thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed. Have a good Christmas. Thank you. Thank you. Bye now.
Right, moved a bit further up the road now. I'm with Jane from the Weybridge Beekeeping Association. She's told me twice and I've forgotten it already. How are you doing?
Lovely, thank you. We've seen quite a lot of interest, people walking past, both interested in thinking about beekeeping themselves and also just obviously buying some of the honey that we've got on display.
Which looks, I must say, very impressive.
There are several beekeepers who've brought their own individual local honeys for sale today. Each one's slightly different because they come from slightly different locations, but they're all delicious.
Absolutely. I'm quite interested because I interviewed another beekeeper on air recently who is collaborating with some people to make a honeybee gin, which is sold through the RHS shops. And a percentage of the profits go to the RHS to put hives into the RHS gardens. Amazing facts I've learned, but I won't go through into all of those now. Tell us a bit about your organisation, how long it's been going.
Oh, now, I'm a relatively recent member, but I think it's been going certainly since the early part of the century. Some of the members have been keeping bees for decades and are obviously very expert. And they're finding it quite interesting as things change and as we have the threats from varroa mites and the Asian hornet, which we're so aware of at the moment, they're finding they're having to change their methods. And most of them are adapting quite well.
You see, now that, I think, shows the ignorance of the public, because I would have assumed it was a recent organisation. I've lived in Elmbridge for 30-plus years, and I only heard about you this year because of what we're doing at the studio for you.
Well, we've had, obviously, a huge surge in publicity for beekeeping generally and for the threat to the insect population of the UK in general. And that, I think, has raised people's awareness a great deal. Before that, it tended to be a bit of a hobby that the people who knew about it, as it were, if that makes sense.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, it was like almost like a closed shop, which in its own way contributed to the downfall of the bee, perhaps.
Oh, well, I'm not sure about that. I think it tended to be a bit more of a specialist hobby, I would say. An enthusiast is an enthusiast, you know. I think there's always been a certain level of people who were committed to it. But as I say, the sort of a recent publicity and surge of interest in the bees in general has made a huge difference to the awareness of it.
Because, I mean, the bee has an incredibly important place in the human food chain. I can't talk to that. In the human food chain as well.
Exactly. Obviously, we all know from our gardens that if there are bees around, then our fruit and flowers get pollinated properly. But it's not just the honeybee that's important. Well, in some ways, the honeybee is in a stronger position than some of the other wildlife because we have an interest in looking after it. So, but I think beekeepers are very aware of the general environmental implications.
Now, you're running a big event at the moment, aren't you?
Well, we've got a course starting in January where people can start learning how to become beekeepers. It runs for 10 weeks on weekday evenings, and then in the summer there's the hands-on practical side of it. So we start out with the theory. There's quite a lot to learn.
And are there still places on the course?
There are a few places. They are filling up fairly fast because obviously there's a limit to the number of people you can stand around a beehive.
And if people are interested in registering for the course, how do they do that?
Well, the details are on the website. There's a phone number, but I think, wait a moment, I can ask my colleague.
I'll walk over with you, come on.
Just as you do.
Yep.
Basically, places are left on the course. How do people apply for the course if they want to do it?
If they have a look at the website, the Weybridge Beekeepers website, there's some details on there. Basically, they fill in a form, send it to me, Sue Laws, and then I extract the money out of them by whatever means possible, and then they will reserve them a place. The course starts in January, and we have 10 weeks of theory, basic theory, and then we have a little gap for the bees to wake up again, and then we do 10 weeks practical, hands-on practical. So,
and the cost of that is what?
It's £125 per person, and then it's a bit cheaper if there's two people from the same address.
Brilliant, ladies. Thank you very much indeed. I wish you all the best at it.
I'm talking now to Rachel Lake, who is our mayor this year. Nice to see you this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
And it's great to see you here at what is a lovely occasion for Weybridge.
It is a magnificent occasion for Weybridge. It's been back for about 5 years, and when I was chairman of the Elmbridge Business Network, I actually instigated bringing the tree back after 20-odd years.
So it's quite special for you to be here today and involved.
It is really personal as well. I'm privileged to be here to turn them on, but it's personal as well, and it's wonderful that they've carried on the tradition.
That's really lovely. So tell us a little bit more about your mayoral year so far, because obviously it's been just a couple of months.
No. I came in May, on the 17th of May, and we've been extremely busy. And this evening is the main fundraiser for my charity, which is Oasis Childcare. So from here, I do a very quick change into evening wear and my civic robes, and I go to Sandown where I host the main charity ball.
That's going to be fantastic this year. Mulled wine is always important on an evening like this.
It definitely is. I was wondering what my husband, who is my consort this year, was smiling at me, and then I suddenly thought, mulled wine.
You've got to do it. So is this the first Christmas light switch on that you've done so far this year?
No, I actually turned the tree on at Walton, and then night before last I turned the Isha new display of lights on there, and I'm here in Weybridge tonight, which, as I say, this one has a real solid personal connection with me.
I know you're a big fan of Christmas.
Oh yes. Sorry, if you see my children, they can't understand why people don't celebrate Christmas. It's always been a big family event for us. And apart from one Christmas, and my children are in their 30s, we still see our children on Christmas Day. And it'll be exactly the same this year. But this year, we're joining our daughter. So we're all in our daughters because she and her partner have purchased their first home. So it's a new experience for me being away, and the first time ever in our daughter's home.
Oh, congratulations to them. And you were saying yesterday you had a big experience. Last week, wasn't it? You felt very posh because you got to record a message.
I did. It went as my Christmas message, and it was for the Talking Pages, a service that is offered to people that can't get out or maybe partially sighted. And it is a facility that volunteers run, and they put it on different media sticks and they're delivered to the people that are housebound or that are partially sighted, that are just not able to read their own news.
Very, very worthy service.
It is an amazing service. And you know what? Without the volunteers, look at tonight. We must have about 400-500 people here. Yeah. And you've got all the volunteers. You've got the army cadets helping. And the fact is, Elmbridge, Surrey, and best part of this country would not be the place that we are without the volunteer sector and people that are prepared to go out. And that is just so more noticeable at Christmas when we're thinking about children and vulnerable people, that it seems, don't ask me why, but it always seems to come more home, more to the hearts at Christmas, when it should be in our hearts all years round. But the voluntary sector makes sure that it is.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for speaking to us. I will let you go and get on with your preparations for light turning on.
Thank you very much, James.
Thank you.
And James, may I take this opportunity to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas and a healthy, happy New Year.
Joining me is Claire from Love Print Unique. Now, this is interesting. This caught my eye as I was walking past because this is all about jewellery, isn't it?
That's right. We capture fingerprints, handprints, footprints, paw prints, or even drawings that children have done. And we cast it in 99.9% pure silver. And then you can attach it to anything you like, so different types of necklaces, different types of bracelets. And you can choose the size that you want and the shape that you want. And we've got 8 different shapes to choose from. So you can really specify exactly how you want your finished jewellery to look.
Okay, and you do, I notice at the front here, you do different things. There's a light box in the corner there, that's caught my eye as well. Is that just for show, or do you do special prints in for light boxes, that sort of thing, or is it just literally jewellery?
No, it's just jewellery. It's just to try and make the store look more...
Oh, okay, sorry. It's my ignorance, sorry. So we've got different products here. So there's jewellery, and do you do sort of canvases and things like that, or is it just jewellery?
No, just silver jewellery.
Just silver jewellery, right, okay. So you have people have their own personal designs, and is it things like... you do bracelets and rings and things like that?
That's right, yeah. So people can choose, they can choose the charm that they want, and then they can choose what sort of jewellery they want to make it into. So there's a key ring or even cufflinks. And so it's usually, quite often it's young children's prints. That seems to appeal to the sort of younger families. They, like mums particularly, that want their child's fingerprints or footprint on a necklace. But older children, you know, any age can have it done. I've had a little run of actually where more sort of grown-up children have been having the prints done for their mum as well. So there's no age limits, it can be done for any age, but it just tends to be more popular with the younger people, with younger children.
Okay, and so how can they get in contact with, how people can get in contact with you? Do they have to email their designs across, or can you personalise it from your side if they give you a bit of an idea and you can design something at your side?
Well, they can either go onto the website and there's drop down boxes. They choose the size that they want, the shape of the charm that they want, and then they can fill in, they go to the relevant page, whether it's a fingerprint or a hand or footprint that they want. Or if people are local to Weybridge, then I'm happy to meet up with them and then I can take the prints for them. But we can send out kits as well, so they can take the fingerprints or the hand and footprints themselves, and then they can send it. Or email, if it's a hands or footprint, they can email back the picture, and then I do some magic and shrink it down and so that it can fit onto the charm size that they've chosen, and then it's either posted, or if they're local I can deliver it when it's finished.
Okay, and this is a business, is it a new business, or has it been going for quite a while?
So I actually rebranded earlier this year. So I've been doing it actually for about 4 years, but I was doing it under a different name. So I've just rebranded and made it all much more exciting and pretty now. But that was about May time.
Is it a home-based business, or is it in a company headquarters? Or
yeah, I do it all from home.
All from home.
I make it all myself at home, yeah.
Okay, and so how can people get in contact with you? Is it loveprintunique.com?
Yeah, so I've got a website, www.loveprintunique.com, or they can email me at info@loveprintunique.com. I've got my phone number and my flyers as well.
Okay, thank you very much, Claire, and we'll have to have a look at more of the website and find out a bit more about it, and if you're thinking of doing a personalised jewellery, then that's the place to go.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you much, Claire. Thank you.
Right, I'm now with Sarah from Shooting Star Chase. Hello.
Hi.
You look quite warm, considering how cold it is for the rest of us out here. You look nice and warm. Must be warm in your gazebo there.
I've got lots of layers on. My feet are starting to go a bit numb, but I'm not doing too badly.
So we see somebody dancing down the street later on if you're trying to warm your feet up.
Exactly, yes.
Now, you're with Shooting Star Chase, a charity which I'm sure everybody has heard of, but I wonder if they all know what Shooting Star Chase does. So would you like to tell us a bit about what the charity does?
Okay, so Shooting Star Chase is a children's hospice charity. We look after children, babies, young people and children and their families with life-limiting conditions right up to the age of 21. We've got two hospices, one in Guildford and one in Hampton. And basically it's support for the whole family, the child themselves, siblings, parents, grandparents, everybody.
I think absolutely right what you say there. People lose track, I think, of the impact that it has on the rest of the family. You might think the rest of the family are together as a group, but that one person missing can make a great deal of difference. Do you encourage... I mean, obviously you have the young person in there. Do you encourage the rest of the family to actually stay, or just to visit occasionally?
There's a variety of ways we can support the family. Quite often they might want to stay in for the initial visits, but then we offer respite as well, so that the child can be looked after. Parents feel really comfortable that they're being looked after really well, so they can go away they can have a break themselves, they can have a break with their other children that they wouldn't be able to do otherwise. So it's really up to the family exactly what they want to do, whether they want to all stay there or use it as respite so that they can go off and have a break doing something else.
Obviously something you're very passionate about.
Absolutely. I've been with the charity for 4 years and have met lots of families and can see the impact that it has on them. And it is about, you know, children are with us for different lengths of time. They can be with us for a number of days, and that can be from birth, or they can be with us for months or even years. And so we get to know a lot of the families very well. And I think it's just about providing that support in circumstances that, you know, nobody wants to find themselves in.
Must be hard. I know my wife actually volunteers in another hospice, and I know sometimes it's hard for... Now, presumably you exist by donation and people supporting you that way. Anybody listening, if they wanted to donate and help you now, how would they do that?
They can go to our website and donate online, or they can call us and donate over the phone. They can go into our shops and buy things from our... We've got 11 shops around the area. They can also volunteer for us in lots of different ways. And we need to raise £10 million a year, 10% of which is from government funding. So it's a lot of money that we need to raise.
It is. It's not much from government, really, when you consider, is it? Well, I wish you the very best of luck for the rest of the afternoon. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Let's go back now to join Alan Bosson.
Hi, Graham. Yeah, we're just coming up to the switch on now with the mayor. She's. You probably can't hear it. There's so much noise going on there, but they're counting down now from 10, 9, and all the way down. The mayor's actually standing by the tree. He's got a lit-up Christmas wand there now, which he's waving up the tree. And the lights have just gone on. So Christmas has now officially started in Weybridge. Not only the lights on the Christmas tree outside the bank, but all of the lights along the street over the shops are now on. So it's officially Christmas in Weybridge.
Lovely stuff. That's a great moment then. So Councillor Rachel Lake turning the lights on.
Indeed, yes. Marvellous. First time we've covered it, and... tree is now back as a permanent feature, I think, every year in Weybridge.
Indeed, looks great. That's down there, just on the junction of Baker Street and the High Street, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah, just outside Lloyd's Bank, basically.
All right, okay. Well, thank you for that, Alan. The Christmas is officially with us.
Brooklands Radio. Loving events in Surrey.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with the Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.